This is the She Do That podcast. She Do That is a London-based animation community aimed at developing women in animation skills and connecting them with people in the industry, strengthen their employability, and hopefully go some way to narrowing the gender gap we see in animation. This is a special episode that we recorded in the summer of 2023 at the Playground's In Motion London edition. The panel, We Just Wanna Have Fun, was put together to discuss women making super fun, funny work, looking at the process these brilliant panelists undertake to create their unique films. The panel included Becky Sloan, Sophie Gogo-Gay, and Laura Jane Hodkins, and was hosted by Hannah Lau Walker in front of a live audience inside Tottenham Court Road's Outernet. The recording has been edited for the release in this podcast, so take a listen now. Yeah, so we're excited to talk with three women who I think are making groundbreaking work in this area. And yeah, we're going to chat a bit about process and hopefully be super inspired. So if you do introductions, Becky, if you want to talk a bit about your work.
Hello, this mic is cool. I'm Becky, and I'm a director and maker. I love to make costumes, props and puppets and weird things. Yeah, I guess I started off doing quite a lot of like technique based experimental animation, did music videos, did like a stop motion claymation video for Tame Impala, and then a few other things, then ended up getting represented by a production company, Blink, and got into storytelling and ended up writing some shorts called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, and recently finished a series for Channel 4, 22 minute episodes, which is quite mad.
We can show, we've got a clip.
Yeah,
actually,
there's a clip.
Whoa. Woo! Should we jump to Sophie? Yes. Do you want
to? Yeah, hi everyone. It's really nice to be here, especially sat next to these two. I make films as well. I'm an animator, artist. And I used to work commercially as well, but not really doing that anymore. So I'm more into development. I do like TV writing and feature films for animation. And I'm developing a series at the moment. So we're in that really annoying stage where we're still trying to get it over the line, but it's with Adult Swim and Sony. So that's really exciting. And
do you want to show a clip?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Thanks for laughing.
So good. I'm Laura.
Hi. Well, I'm Laura. I graduated from the Royal College of Art in 2019, and I made two films that both about best friends. One called Hayley and Joanna, and one called Hot and Tasty, which I'm going to show a clip from. And since then, I was signed with Strange Beast, which is an animation studio here in London. And I've been mainly working on commercial projects and sort of my personal work in my own time. Yeah.
Great. Let's see some Hot and Tasty.
Oh my God, look at that chicken.
I love it.
It's very good. they're all brilliant. And thank you so much for being here today. But yeah, should we chat about process then? So Becky, I might start with you because Don't Hug My Sweet. Blah.
Don't Hug My
Spear. Is an epic show that's
much better.
But yeah, it's wonderfully dark and surreal. How do you start writing something like that? Like, do you start with a personal experience? Like, where does that come from?
I think, well, with the very first episode in particular, the creativity one, that was definitely, inspired by going to art school and just like, the experience and the frustrations of like being taught art and like how to, what the boundaries are. And like, I did fine art, so I think it was just, it was so broad that it was like you can do anything, but, and I found that quite stressful, I guess. And then coming out of art school, we just wanted to do something that was like taking the mickey out of that, I guess, or like just like commenting on that.
And how's that kind of evolved? Because obviously it's sort of gone from the shorter format that's like initially like 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
To then 24.
Yeah, 22.
22 minutes.
Yeah. It's a big jump. Well, it doesn't seem that big, but when it's puppetry and like stop motion and all mixed media, it just takes so long to shoot. But yeah, it was, I guess, like the first, we weren't really thinking about what was next with the show or doing more even. We just made this one little musical short. And then I think we wanted, we were like, we could do more of these different subject matters. And then we got offered like a deal, to make a pilot for a longer format show, which was really exciting, but that it was hard to transition from like a 3 minute short. Well, we got up to like 8 minutes, I think, with the YouTube series, but yeah, it definitely was a quite a hard process doing that, but like a good experience, but challenging.
Definitely.
But yeah, we like worked with another writer and story editor as well, like script editor, to kind of help us like shape it and structure it. Yeah, because we were okay like writing the gags and like the general idea and the story, but like to structure it into like a 22-minute episode. Yeah, we needed a bit of help with that.
But how was it? So when you and Joe were initially writing it, how was that process? Did you start with the like, this is how we want it to look, or was it quite like?
We did quite often start with the visuals, I'd say, like, and then it kind of just like speedballs, and quite often the writing comes like second. Like we kind of experiment a bit with visuals, and then like Joe does the music, and then me and him and our friend Baker as well, who does all the voices, like we write together. And then we'll just start right once we've got some ideas for characters, we'll just like start writing and put like experimenting with voices, because we all do the voices as well.
That's so good.
And then do like an animatic and stuff, but it's usually quite a lot going on at the same time. Like it's so heavily like craft based, like on the process based on like the different medias in the show and stuff, so we're always like figuring that out alongside the writing at the same time.
Oh wow, that sounds it sounds really organic and just sort of evolving as it goes on.
Well, it's harder when it grows and gets bigger and you're doing it like as a TV show, like you have to be way more structured and like have like very detailed animatics and stuff and do stuff in a certain order, whereas I think before it was quite chaotic and like we'd just be doing different things at once. And
Oh man, I mean, Sophie, for you as well, because you've moved from like shorts to features, and like I know you did a mini series as well with the Rick and Morty. Has that been quite different in your process, like from doing sort of Slug Life to then trying to manage a feature in a series?
Well, I haven't actually got to the point where we're in production, so
those initial stages, though, maybe like the writing stages of it, was it the same process for that longer format?
So the series I'm working on is only 11 minutes, so it's not as intense, but I think it's a similar process. Do you want me to talk about it?
I'd love you to talk about it.
I think I just I've surrounded myself with quite funny people all my life, and selected my group of friends quite well, and I've just been slowly sort of immortalizing them into cartoon characters.
That's brilliant.
They don't even know it as well. It's really strange. It's like the people that I'm with all the time, they don't really know what I do, and they never ask me. Like, they haven't even watched my films.
Really? Oh, that's amazing.
But I just take a lot of things from other people and recycle, reuse, always just listening out for jokes and that.
Oh, that's brilliant. I would love to see all your friends gathered together watching everything you've done, being like, wait, this is our life. What has happened? Yeah, I mean, because you've got reoccurring characters, like, is it Marcy, who has been developing will he be in the new work you're doing as well?
Yeah, I'm going to slip him in, yeah.
He's just creeping around everywhere. Yeah,
just his nose.
Oh, that's so good. Sorry, my brain just immediately went blank because I was thinking about Slug Life, and there's Ben from PC World as well. Does that mean that he's a real guy? I'm so interested in, like, now, is that person real? Is this person real?
Yeah, Ben's real, yeah. He lives in Bath. He helps me with my laptop in, like, the last week of Slug Life. Oh, went into PC World, and my boyfriend had just broken up with me as well, but he was 18, so he's a bit young for me, but really lovely.
That's brilliant. Laura as well, do you like your shorts, thinking of Hot and Tasty?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those characters, I feel like I know them already. I've been that drunk girl in a chicken shop telling my best friend that I love her. So it's like,
yeah, it's definitely based on, like, me and my friends going out. Like, we used to, in my hometown, we used to go to Sheffield out, but we couldn't afford to get a taxi home, so we'd have to wait till 6 a.m. just like, and we would just be like wandering the streets really drunk, like wandering at chicken shops, and yeah, that's
good. Classic. Yeah, that's pretty epic. Are those scripted then, or is that kind of, do you improvise those, because they feel like really natural?
Oh, Hot and Tasty was scripted, but I recorded me and my best friend before, because I was like, oh, this would be really cool, like it would just be me and her. It didn't really work because I needed it to be more fitting to this narrative structure, but definitely some of those conversations went into the script. And then when I got the voice actors to do Hot and Tasty, I was just like, improv, like, do your thing. Like, so I got them to, like, read the script, but then add in bits. And yeah, they were together as well, which was very nice. Yeah,
it's really cool. Yeah, getting that nice chemistry.
Yeah, so then they were like going back and forth and like crying and like, yeah, it was good. It was really funny.
Oh, I love that, because like those films that you've created really sort of center around like female friendships, which I really like. Like, is there something that really draws you towards that? Is that something you're going to continue kind of exploring?
I think so. I guess it's obvious, but yeah, I like my friends, so I like seeing...
You were also immortalising them on screen. I think this is a good vibe. Yeah. That means, Becky, wait.
Wish I said that now. Yeah.
you need to, the next series, just all of your friends suddenly on screen. But it's interesting you're saying about voice acting, because I feel like all of your like films and shorts all have like incredible voice acting in them. I think you guys also... in some of your short films as well. Like, it'd be great to hear a bit about how you sort of direct that, because they feel like the voices in all of them just really set the tone, I think, of the projects.
I mean, for us, I think we did the voices initially because we just didn't have any budget and we were like, we'll just do it ourselves. And it was really fun and you could just do it instantly. And I have like the voice of a cartoon character, Victorian schoolboy, apparently. So I was like, yeah, I could do some voices and stuff. And then we just were mucking about. And then, yeah, Joe, who I worked with, was the red guy, because he's got a really boring voice. And then Baker is, like, really good at voices. And he can just do any voice. So he does, like, most of the voices in the show. Yeah, I have maybe a voice you'd recognise as, like, a kid's show voice. And that's what we wanted. So it just worked. And then I think as it developed... and we did the TV series, Channel 4 wanted us to put like comedians or like well-known voices in, and we were always a bit unsure about that because Don't Hug Me is meant to be like a forgotten weird show dug up from the ground that no one can place where it's from. So if you start having like really recognizable famous voices in it, it kind of changes that. But we did work with some sort of comedians we know and stuff, but yeah, it was kind of hard to navigate that because we couldn't do all the voices, because it would be, I can't do many different ones, and it would just be obviously me doing all the voices. So we had to work like broaden the team, and that did help it in a lot of respects. But then it's really difficult to sort of retain that, I guess, lo-fi quality, because we didn't want it to become too polished and like just all these celebs in it sort of.
But yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That sounds really nice to like the people who are thinking about making films like on their own, just sort of like, actually you can use your own voice and just have fun.
Yeah. And it's a really quick way of just testing stuff out. And sometimes it is like hard to direct someone how to say something. It's easier to, you can do like a test like run and
yeah
just like figure it out in the scratch sort of thing.
Was that similar for you, Sophie, with the voices? Did you, were you using, you weren't using friends, I know that, but were you using, you were doing some of the voice acting yourself?
Yeah, I do most of the voices. Apart from Half Wet, that's my first film from the RCA. And I think because my films, what I try and do is like create an aesthetic that's quite like nostalgic almost or cartoony, but then the dialogue and the storylines are meant to be sort of more like nuanced, I guess, or like off kilter. And then with those two, I wanted to then have for my first film, like really, really professional sort of radio voice actors that you don't normally associate with cartoons. Yeah. So that's what I did with Half Wet. And it was weird. It's a strange film. But yeah, for my others, I just use my own voice because I've got quite a low voice and I can do a really good German accent.
Oh, it's like add to the CV, German accent, nailing it. Well, it'd be great actually to talk a little bit about commercial as well, because I know that, you know, I think probably people in the audience are sort of making work commercially. And I was really interested to know how you guys sort of, does your voice have to change, like the tone of your work when you're selling it? I mean, I know, Sophie, you kind of moved past the commercial work, but do you have to change who you are to sell your soul on for sweet, sweet cash? That's what I'm asking, basically. But yeah, like Laura, recently you've done a really wonderful Cheeseheads campaign. Oh, yeah. Which I love. But like, how do you, like, do you get scripted the script for that and build a world
and it's fun designing the characters and things, but I have found that they really want my style to be a lot cleaner. Whereas in my own work, I don't want it to be as clean, you know, like I want it to be a bit like rushed and like scrappy. That's why I struggle with commercial work the most. I think they want it to be clean, like really clean.
Like scrappy, like, yeah, please scrappy.
Like I even worked with, with the Cheeseheads one, it was all animated in Flash and I don't know how to use Flash. So I had this whole team working in it and it's nice. It looks cute, but it's definitely not like something I would love to make, but it pays the bills.
It doesn't feel your organic touch. Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. I mean, that, I feel like that's what sort of for commercials, they've got such a vision and you kind of have to fit into that a bit, is it? Becky, do you do much commercial work anymore? Is it so?
We have done some commercial work, but the goal is always to try and do our own work. But obviously sometimes you've gotta pay those bills and stuff. But a lot of like brands will just want us to do Don't Hug Me, but for their brand. And that's something we just really don't want to do. We've always tried to keep it very separate. So our commercial work, we try and do some, like, we don't get many jobs because we're like, how about something completely different from what you know us for? Because we don't really want to link the two.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't win many jobs, but yeah, I mean,
you know what? I feel like that's very good to know because you're like so amazing, and you're like, okay, good. You also like don't naturally get every single job,
but yeah, there's also pitching is quite a lot of work, and you don't get paid, so you've got to really like be in it to win it. And I find it quite difficult if I'm not really into the project. Like we did a commercial for Trolley Sweets in America. Some weird little adverts for them, like, which were really cool actually. Like they were stop motion and they gave us a lot of creative freedom, so that was really fun. And it wasn't like they didn't want us to just do Don't Hug Me. It was like something like a whole new aesthetic, so that was really like good for a commercial. That's the sort of thing that we like to get, but it doesn't come around very often. But there's been a few like companies that have actually ripped Don't Hug Me off as well, so it's like quite stressful because we're like, we don't want to do it, but then other people do it and we're like, oh, darn it. It's difficult.
Give me that cash.
And then people are messaging you, like, oh, I saw that Oatly advert you did. It's like, we didn't do that. We're gonna sue you.
That's so frustrating. We're gonna see you. I imagine that a lot of creatives have to send out those annoying emails.
Yeah, it is stressful because you work so hard on like yeah, it's your own work, and like you've worked so hard on it, and then like companies or like brands will just rip it off, and it's not fair.
No, it's really tough.
It happens. I guess it's a compliment in some ways.
But Sophie, because you've moved away now completely, is it? Did you used to? I feel like I read that you used to have a sort of style that you would use just for commercial. That's kind of like a, that's that, and then this is my sweet baby over here.
Yeah, I've got a boring style. but I still didn't make that much money, actually. I never got those big jobs. Mm-hmm. And I got fired from like 3 production companies. I've just given up. I was just like, God, what am I doing wrong?
Destined to just go solo. And it sounds like you're doing great without them. So.
Yeah, it would be quite nice to make some money.
It's the dream one day. but yeah, it'd be really nice to talk about style as well, because I feel like you guys have such unique styles. Yeah, especially, you know, BAFTA winning style over here. but it'd be great to hear about, like, you know, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, where that kind of style originated. Did you always use like puppetry?
Well, yeah, I guess like, I just had like an obsession with any kind of like handmade technique, like claymation or like making puppets, costumes and like giant props and stuff. I was a bit all over the place. And then when we got into filmmaking, I think Don't Hug Me, it started off as this like we had the kid show format, I guess, like the Don't Hug Me world, like with the three characters, and then it was really fun because we could just go into these other worlds, which could be any technique, any medium, so you could kind of do anything, which, and because it was our project, there wasn't anyone telling us what to do.
So that was always really intentional then, like, because I think I like the thing I love most is the fact that there's so much space that's to experiment visually, and you use so many different mediums. Is that always what you wanted to, it was like inbuilt into the episode?
Yeah, definitely. It felt like a mixture. Like, I don't know, for the first one episode, it was like we did CGI and then like sort of Muppet style felt puppet world and then raw meat. And that felt like the ingredients for success. And then it just grew and grew, and we did lots of different techniques. And we really wanted to work with like other artists that, we liked, and it was quite good as the show grew, so we could be like, you do this section, so it's less for us to do, and just it makes the world more expansive, and you can like that we work with so many amazing like animators that have done like whole CGI segments and stuff, and it's really fun seeing like the main characters in different forms and different styles and stuff. So it's definitely like a collaborative project. It's like
I genuinely couldn't, if you did all of that on your own, I think that would be so incredible. It's incredible anyway, like it's so beautiful, but it must be so wonderful to collaborate with other people and kind of.
It just means it's so, it's really fun, and you can just achieve like so much more sort of thing.
Oh, that's great. And like, because Sophie, your style I feel is really, I mean, I love it. It's so, your characters are so gnarly and wonderful, and they're sort of, I would describe them as grotesque and sexual at the same time, which I think is incredibly delightful. The use of airbrush. Where does that kind of style come from? And also it'd be great to hear a bit about how it's evolving in 3D, because I've been seeing some of that and I'm like, how?
So I've developed my style at the RCA, I guess, which is where I studied. And it was the time, it was like CS6 Photoshop Extended that had just introduced the video timeline instead of the frame thing. And then I was in my class was Nicholas Menard, who some of you probably know, and he created this like gnarly set of actions, this like bootleg kind of plugin, and gave it to all of us. So we were sort of like the first year group to properly use Photoshop as an animation tool, and it felt really exciting at the time. I don't know, we were such nerds, but we just loved it. And I was excited because I could like design something fully in Photoshop, and then I knew that I could make that move. Like I didn't have to translate it to another software.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was doing lots of airbrush stuff. I'm really inspired by like ceramics and sculpture. And
oh, nice. Is that why it then transitioned to 3D? Because that's such a like physical like form.
Yeah, I guess so. I've sort of pushed Photoshop to its limits. I can't have any more layers. I think like maxed out on the layers. And I wanted to stay in these worlds for longer. And you know, I want to. It takes so long the airbrush technique. But if you want to do it, it's basically you just like fill an object and then you lock the transparency. And then it's like the question mark on the keyboard. And then you just use like the basic airbrush. I'm just telling it now because I'm not using it anymore.
Like, I'm happy to sell these secrets. It's no longer mine. So yeah. Does that mean that the series you're working on is intended for 3D? Or
I'm trying to make it, I want it to be 3D, but I think it's going to be 2D. But it's not airbrushed. It's I'm making it with a designer called Bridget Main. Who's the art director of it? So it's sort of going to be more in her style, actually.
Oh, that's exciting.
She's an amazing illustrator.
How's it been like collaborating with somebody new? Because before it's all been your like style.
Well, no, she's helped on my other films as well. She did some storyboarding and things. So.
Oh, so you've had a relationship for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. She's a legend as well. You should look her up. Bridget Main.
I mean, that must be so nice, yeah, having someone that you trust to work with, especially when you're taking on something huge like a series. It's friend, come on, let's go. Oh, nice. And Laura, like your style, is that sort of, where does that come from? Is that like influenced by people you know, or sort of as in like, do you base your characters off human beings, or is it very
I just draw outfits I like, and I draw, when I see a girl I like, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll draw her. Like, yeah, that's really it.
Just mainly designing clothes for yourself. It's like, this is how I'm going to look at some point.
Yeah, like I like drawing characters who look like they could actually exist rather than being like too glamorous or like too extra.
Oh, that's really nice. And you were talking earlier about loving things to be a bit more scrappy. How does that come about? Because I feel like, well, the work I've seen of yours is sort of digital, but do you sketch out initially and then?
Yeah, I draw a lot. It's just, I think recently I've just like struggled with doing my own work. I don't know. I've been doing a lot of commercial stuff, so it's very like, it's very draining.
Yeah.
Like I really want to make a new film. It's just hard, like getting the energy to do that. But yeah, I sketch a lot. And I always draw characters with like speech bubbles and things. And that's like the sort of dialogue which then goes into my films. Like, that happened with Hot and Tasty. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I love that. I also am just aware of the time. It'd been really nice to just kind of end with just some remarks on what you, anyone like encouraging anyone to have more fun with their animations and kind of, you know, not feel the need to lean into any kind of preconceived ideas of what you should be doing, but just, you know, getting out there into the world.
I would say just try and not think about what other people will like, because if I find with social media and everything now, it's so overwhelming and you're just bombarded with stuff. And sometimes it makes me create less because I'm just like, everything's been done, or people like this kind of thing, or they don't like this. And I think the best thing to do is just like kind of lock yourself in a dark basement, turn off the internet and just like make work stuff. And just make stuff and like what that you want to make, and don't worry about where it will end up or what other people will think about it. But I understand it's difficult if you need to make money, that's not the best advice, to lock yourself in a cave and like, but yeah.
Why do you feel like animators' natural habitat is like somewhere dark and cave fills? I mean, look, well, look where we are right now. Yeah.
But I think just from going from like just making work for pure fun and enjoyment to it growing into something much bigger and being like going into commercial stuff and TV or whatever, and having people like really analyze your scripts and like lots of feedback, it can be quite draining. So I think if you're able to just like enjoy not having that while it lasts, and just like have fun and make stuff that you enjoy. and try and retain that as much as you can, that control, creative control.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message. Sophie, do you have anything you would recommend for people or advice to encourage people to do, maybe if they want to go into making their more personal work?
I think when I made my films, I had no idea that there was a market for someone like me in the TV industry. But at the moment, things really are changing up there, as tough as it is, like getting it through everyone. It's like that they really are looking for new voices. And so if you're confident in your voice and you have stories to tell, I think just somehow make a film, try and make a film in your spare time if you can.
Yeah.
And trust that if it's good enough, someone will find it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think like especially comedy, like there's not enough comedy animation out there in the indie scene. And I think like whenever I watch anything, if it's funny at all, I remember it so much more. So even if you're dealing with like tough issues or like proper true stories, I think elements of humor can help a lot. That's my advice.
Yeah, I could agree more actually. Like comedy is the thing. Laura, do you have any remarks, any advice?
I would say probably similar to Becky's, like don't stress about Instagram. Don't stress about posting your work. People will find it. Like if it's meant to be found, it will be found, you know? Like send it to everyone. Watch other people's, be really nice, comment on other people's, just meet people in the animation scene. And I think, yeah, that'll really help.
Oh, that's great. And also, I feel like a great way to end, because now we can all meet each other and have a lovely drink. But thank you so much for being a part of the panel. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you found the panel's insights as delightful as we did. We wanted to say a massive thank you to Playgrounds for inviting us to In Motion, and to the absolutely stellar panelists for sharing their experiences and superb advice. It was a joy for us to chat with them all, and we hope to do more panels in the future. Until then, from everyone at She Drew That, thank you for listening.